Hello, I'm Charles Commons, and this is Speaking of Next Gen Privileged Access, brought to you by One Identity. Over the course of this six-part podcast series, along with a range of experts from the world of cybersecurity, I'm going to be exploring the world of privileged access management and looking ahead to what the future holds. The aim of this podcast series is to get you thinking about PAM and how secure your organization is. More information on the subjects discussed in each episode are available through the show notes of the podcast. This is episode 4, and today I'm joined by Prasanna Kumar Belpalli of Prosegur and One Identity cybersecurity expert Alan Radford. Together we are discussing issues around RPA and how it can fit into your PAM solution. Welcome to the podcast, guys. Now, Prasanna, it's been reported that only 46% of IT professionals are actually confronting security risks during the initial phase of development. Is this a detriment to the developer who fails to understand the organization and therefore leaves fatal gaps in the solution?
I would say that an organization should spend more time and money on training up security goals and strategic objectives, including how security risk management intersects and supports companies' business objectives. A security plan specifies the approach, responsibilities, and resources applied to managing protective security risks in development. The security plan allows teams to review the degree of security risks that exist in different areas of operations and act to mitigate identified risks. At Prosegur, we make sure that security plan is implemented with correct level of preparedness at all phases of project through training and security audits. We empower all our development departments with the right tools and techniques to align its day-to-day development activities with organization security goals.
So is it then just a simple case of almost too many cooks then?
Yes. We implement the plan and we make sure that the entire process gets audited.
So basically, if you could kind of cut out the middleman of almost having the developers, I suppose, just transfer their skills to the people that know what they need, then and therefore have that explanation of exactly what is needed to be developed, then that would actually cut out the fatal holes that are being left.
Yes, I would. From proper training, so we can empower those developers to understand the security goals of the organization. Hence, they can understand and they can develop more aligning with the security goals of the organization.
So when reading up for this episode, I saw it mentioned that large organizations get attacked because of incomplete inventories. This leaves gaps and risks. In your opinion, Prasanna, is it because there is a lack of seriousness towards security, or simply that there are so many people doing so many different things that it leaves those openings? Who would be responsible?
Yes, to a certain extent, I would say yes. A lot of companies would not prioritize security until some undesired event happens. I believe there should be a fundamental policies that represent what is desirable for an organization and to all its teams. Security gaps and risks happen in your company because of lack of accountable authority to govern their teams in a way that is consistent with the security policies of the organization. The established policies should be consistent and efficient and effective to prevent security risks. It forms the basis for information and assets from the security and supports continuous improvement of the business. Basically, the governance model of the department should address risk responses for potential security risks that may occur in the future.
So basically, until something actually happens and goes wrong, everybody kind of just goes, oh, yeah, we'll come to that if we need to, when really what they should be doing is going, we need this policy in place and we need all these different pieces of the puzzle working and then actually prevent rather than try and fix a cure, you know, and find a cure after a breach has occurred.
Yes, as we humans tend to push the things away until something really is necessary. So that actually happens in organizational level as well. So in development, in testing, in creation of the product, so we always oversee the security. And in the later stages, we realize it's very necessary, and you know, there will be left with very little time to that one. So in order to avoid this kind of problems, we organizations should need to have a policy in place, and that should be implemented from the 03.
I was speaking to a CEO of a fairly large company yesterday, and he said that with what's actually been going on in the world this year in 2020, that he's become much more aware, and actually the people that he pays to go and help him and his company with his cybersecurity, they actually turned around and said he was thinking more of as a CISO than he was as a CEO, which is obviously probably music to your ears. I mean, they haven't actually had a breach, but it's the fact that there's all of this other stuff going on, the move to remote working and things like that, that have obviously caused this to come up on everybody's radar a lot more. I mean, in a way, do you see this as being good news, that what has happened, because it's woken people up?
Yeah, I would say that to some extent it's a good news. And yeah, in Prosegur as well, we sent a lot of employees to work from home, and we used RPA for provisioning VPN access to the employees. Yeah, there's a safeguard, one identity safeguard in the flow of RPA. So we use that product for managing robots IDs and privileged sessions. It's like with the right protocols and the policies, we can manage this crisis.
Alan, what are your thoughts? Is this something that has turned into being a major threat?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, fundamentally, the world has digitally transformed, and it is continuing to do so. Governments, companies, laws, everybody, everywhere is literally in full sprint trying to keep up. So when we talk about deeper dive topics, you know, when we look at the grand landscape of security and we start digging particular holes in it, they all go very, very deep very quickly, because that digital transformation is ongoing. So when we look at things like privileged access management, it is true to say that legacy PAM no longer scales, because privileged access management has always been about inherently accounts and passwords and how a user gains privilege to do something to a system. I've often heard it described as a user uses a system, a privileged user changes the system. But fundamentally, that in itself has changed, because companies that I've been speaking to no longer really care necessarily who can change a system. What they care about is who can change the business for the positive and for the negative. I'll give you an example. There are companies out there who have entire teams of people monitoring their corporate social output on social media. So they've got Facebook teams who live and breathe on Facebook. It's all they do all day. And from them, they are a privileged user, Facebook user, privileged user, not because they're changing Facebook, but because of the risk they represent to the business. And that's really the fundament of what this all comes down to, one of the core underlying trends of security, which I think in itself is largely unchanged, but is evolving because of the digital landscape, is fundamentally, what does risk mean to the business?
Prasanna, what are some quick and easy actions you have implemented to manage security events?
As I mentioned earlier, we have created a centralized accountable authority such that each team should manage security risks and supports a positive security culture in an appropriately mature manner, ensuring the security breach detection and response. So we have implemented one identity safeguard for managing the security things in lifecycle of privileged access credentials and privileged sessions at Prosegur. As an example, we have implemented safeguard in our robotics environment to secure robot IDs of all automated processes. Robots would access safeguard to retrieve the password to continue with its execution. In the same manner, safeguard provisioned us a secure and safe way to control and monitor privileged sessions of the robots. Controlling these privileged sessions is very much necessary to support production environments, particularly in robotics environments. And we need to control these sessions in order to understand what is actually going on in robotics environment. Since these robots are privileged users, so the control is very necessary.
So speaking of that sort of AI and things like that, you've also got machine learning, obviously biometric tools that are all coming in to contention as well. Plus, obviously, the after effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. What challenges are you seeing businesses facing in the next 5 years, Prasanna?
Yeah, I would see like the organizations, they are using AI and machine learning heavily. Yeah, maybe it seems from science fiction tales about robots and artificial intelligence. And they say that the robots can control our jobs and overtake humanities, this kind of stuff. But I would really think maybe it's a symptom of customers losing faith in companies and how they use technologies. So in Prosegur, we also use machine learning and artificial intelligence for improving our operations. So the more control-oriented processes will be required since companies will depend more on AI-based security systems. We need more review points, checklists, audits at every stage in the lifecycle of credentials and privileged access accounts. As organizations continue to grow, so do the size and the complexity of their technology, meaning there is more chance that data to be attacked and used in wrong manner. AI and robots may be great for processing large amount of data, and security layer around this data should be in place. Organizations should be prepared with AI-based defense strategies to defend AI-based cyber attacks, preventative and proactive security methods from cybersecurity teams like One Identity may yield greater security results than typical antivirus measures. So we are preparing a strategic plan to defend these potential problems we may encounter in the future.
What about you, Alan? Are there any particular challenges that you are seeing?
Yeah, I see a lot of employees shifting in their seats, wondering if they're going to get made redundant because of robots. That's definitely a thing. I mean, the automotive industry has already experienced that decades ago. And so in the digital age, there's some stark similarities there. You know, you take a workforce, you recognize that actually you could do all of this with robots far more cheaply, far more efficiently, far with much more agility. Very few companies are going to shy away from that. So I think there is a real issue there. I think the door swings both ways, though. When you look at digital transformation and how it relates to RPA and how it relates to the individual, there's a lot of consumers out there, there's a lot of the employees themselves, if you will, who leverage this as well. You know, if I think about RPA as an example, maybe automate my job. You know, I'll take the risk. I'll stand out there and say it. You know, if I go out and I go and get a robot, an RPA product, get it from the internet, write my own, what have you, and then put that doing my day-to-day job. Maybe my boss needs to know, maybe he doesn't. Maybe I've made my job easier. And we've seen that in the past, like back in the 90s, you know, people were writing scripts, macros for the Office users out there from Office 95, big shout out. The macros were a very early version of robotic process automation. So, and I can hear the RPA vendors out there cringing when I say that, but it's true. Back in the 90s, we were automating stuff with macros. And what we've done is we've taken that concept and we've made it much more mature, much more relevant to the digital age, much more scalable. You know, when we talk about legacy and next generation, scalability is important. Being easy to deploy is important. Being operations and automation ready is important. So I do think that is going to continue. Almost exponentially. And point of fact, you know, right now we're seeing like 60%+ growth in the RPA market, and that's being driven by people recognizing this. So I think, in summary, you know, from the corporate side, yes, there is possibly a culture shift there that needs management. But I think conversely, you know, there will be a rise in consumerism of RPA. And there have been instances out there in the media already.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, do you think now that what with COVID-19 and everything, that's kind of sped it up a bit? You know, this might have been something that you're thinking maybe in the next, as a business owner, maybe you're thinking, well, within 20 years, we'll get RPA involved and we'll have more of that. But now this move, due to the pandemic, has maybe shifted that timeline closer?
Potentially. I mean, this whole situation is unprecedented, so it's anybody's guess. But I think, you know, from my own opinion, companies are going to realize the power of remote workers. There'll be some companies out there who have got less busy as a result, and I think that'll largely be due to the nature of their business or the sector they're in as well. But I think there'll be other organizations who will realize, wow, during COVID-19, we were actually far busier than we ever were before. Why is that? And I think the answer to that question is really just going to be utilization of people. When people aren't commuting, when people aren't working from home, the lines blur between what is the start and stop of a normal work day. And so I think a result of that is that you have lots more productivity, which results in things getting done sooner, that has like a domino effect of timelines getting shifted in a more positive direction for a lot of companies. And I think that on its own will make companies stand back and think to themselves, how can we ride this benefit further forward after COVID-19? You know, I think there's going to be real strong shifts in how companies seek to increase their agility with their workforces. And I think that will have a real impact in the RPA market. And as a knock-on effect from one of those dominoes, a real surge in the need for security as the RPA adoption continues. And that will tread more into artificial intelligence, machine learning, open integrations, which is scaling as well. And then other topics like crypto agility will start rearing their ugly heads, and we'll start having seminars about that in the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, I think you're right there. As much as we're advancing with the technology, the security needs to actually advance at the same rate, if not quicker, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that to me has been very obvious for a long time. When we look at, like, I mean, I quickly got bored of making presentations that talked about new data breaches. Every day there's a new breach. You go to Google data breaches every day for a week, you're going to get different results every single time because it's rife. And I don't think enough people really recognize the data theft market is a market. It's a funded market. And when we look at the number of breaches that keep getting reported, what really stands out to me is not the scale and number of breaches, it's the fact that they're successful. And if I was part of a funded business that was based on a supply chain of obtaining data, I would not want that supply chain to be cut off. Therefore, I would not want to be detected. So the fact that these breaches are increasing in number from what we know, what stands out to me is, what about the breaches that we don't know, aka the ones that are successful? And that to me really indicates a huge growth in that what I'll describe as a market, because they quote unquote, the people who are looking for this data, whether they're governments, whether they're criminals, whoever, whether they're insiders, whether it's just for revenge, what have you, there's value there. And they are in us with that sprint in digital transformation. So when you look around you as a corporate and you're sprinting, trying to keep up with digital change, if you look around you and you had full visibility of everyone around you, it's not just your competitors that are sprinting alongside you. It's governments, it's cyber criminals, it's vendors, it's everybody. Absolutely everybody. And the further ahead you are, the more secure you're going to be.
Prasanna, you mentioned before about how customers are basically losing trust in companies. How do you think that those companies can start to win back that trust?
So they need to encounter a right partner for implementing the security. So I would like to mention a partner. So in robotic sector, when we create a robot, our customers always ask about the GDPR, ask about the data that robot generates, ask about the robot credentials. They always see the things from a different point of view where the data is being exposed to the external entities. So that they don't want to happen. So that can be prevented by using right security partners.
Alan, do you think that the current coronavirus pandemic has created an opportunity for companies to maybe try and regain that trust?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a growing challenge. Trust has to be earned. And when we talk about trust in a company and we talk about culture, that trust can have an impact. Where we see trust being broken, if we look at breaches in the market, I won't name any. Because I haven't signed any legal disclaimers anywhere, so I'll tread carefully. But there have been breaches out there that have been direct results of breaches of trust, you know, employees taking revenge, or people in the market trying to leverage data, or even just flat out military attacks in cyberspace. The trust element is a very, very difficult thing to maintain. But I think from what I've seen in the industry and from what I've seen with my customers, the basics still work. You know, if you show integrity to your employees, that's one of the best ways to keep those employees loyal and maintain that trust. But also when it comes to how culture influences that trust, that always has to come from leadership. So I think it's not necessarily a technology solution. It's not something that you can look at and go, well, that's a digital transformation problem, I'll get a solution for that trust and then I'll move on to the next problem. It's a business problem, it's a culture problem, and it's something that business leaders need to recognize and factor into how they lead their organizations.
Thanks, Alan. Prasanna, with Prosegur being a leader in the security industry, could you just talk about why security is more important in RPA and new technologies, please?
Digital transformation is required for every business in this industry revolution. RPA really plays a very important role in this transformation. So robots are being used to process high risk and high priority processes. Consequently, the management of security risk is a top priority issue for RPA. Since robots interact directly with the business applications and mimics the user actions, it's required to mirror human credentials and entitlements for the robot. This can introduce a significant risk when the software robots automate and perform the routine business processes across multiple systems. A process may end up having access to various systems. This will lead to a security breach. Security and compliance were key considerations in Prosegur's RPA journey. And RPA security has been enhanced to satisfy GDPR and reduce the risk of sensitive data by collaborating with partners like One Identity. And RPA, the security is very critical and you should be taken care.
My thanks to Prasanna and Alan for their time today. For more information, download the One Identity case study, Prosegur Secures Privileged Access for Robotic Process Automation. You'll find the link in the show notes of this podcast. Next time, I'll be looking at how you can control the access that empowers cyber attacks without disruption to users. Join me then.